only on the inside? We've got you covered. It's the Binsiders. Joining Jesse on today's show, it's Keith Sims, whose idea of a great offense involves a lot of time on the ground.
Run it.
Are we really going to go back to the Stone Age? You played for Dan Marino. With Dan Marino, you blocked
And I wanted to run with Dan as quarterback, but...
Rounding out the crew, it's Twan Russell, happy to talk football or, you know, give dating tips.
Hey, if you're a single guy and you want to get to know a girl, you take her to a movie. If I'm that girl, you're an idiot. You want to take a girl to dinner so you can get to know her. You want to take her to miniature golfing, something where you can see her personality.
Mini golf.
Yeah, but I'm married now. You know, I got a good one.
Also, Tristan Jones is hanging with the fans as our comment center anchor or a navigator.
I'm a navigator.
You are the navigator.
Right. Isn't that what I'm navigating my way through the
you're
high seas?
To.
The choppy high seas.
Very choppy.
It's the Finsiders.
The waters in the live chat, I would describe them as treacherous. That would be the word that comes to mind. That would
be accurate.
That would be the way I'd describe the live chat. Treacherous, although not today. Not treacherous today. Welcome to the Finsiders Wednesday. Dolphins are still out on the practice field. This schedule's got me all screwed up. They're working on Tuesday. You're late in the day practice. Totally different than last year. But so far, 1-0. So that's all right. That's all right by me. So the team is out on the practice field. They'll be wrapping up in the next 20, 25 minutes or so. We're going to bring you Deion Jordan, the first-round pick, live in studio, coming up later this hour. So we're looking forward to that. In addition to Deion Jordan, we'll take you into the locker room. We'll hear from Richie Incognito, Mike Pouncey, and Olivier Vernon. Might even bring you some live press conference coverage from Joe Philbin and Ryan Tannehill, depending on how the schedule works out. So we've got a lot to get to today. It'll be fun. And as always, we'll take your text message questions at 347-347, your phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS, and as we mentioned, Tristan Jones, the navigator of the treacherous seas that is the Metro PCS Comment Center, online at dolphins.com.
It's usually treacherous in here, but today I think we're smooth sailing to start, because these guys are ready to talk about the Colts game, which we've been kind of putting back to Wednesday so we could kind of recap the Brown stuff. So
yeah,
I'm sure it's going to get treacherous soon.
All right. We're all about the treacherous seas. Twan Russell is here, first time in like 7 months. Keith Sims is here, so it's nice to have you back, a regular face, somebody familiar to me. Twan walked in. I was like, oh, no, the meeting's in the other room, sir. Like, oh, that's Twan. Welcome back.
Thank you very much. We've been busy. You know, we've been serving the community. Long summer. It seems like the summer gets longer and longer for us every year.
But well, you do great work with the Dolphins Academy, the youth camps for everybody, and we appreciate that. But we also appreciate when you take some time to come in and hang out with the Finsiders. Let's do the practice update right off the bat. Get everybody up to speed on what's going on. Yesterday, the news was that, you know, in the portion of practice that was open to the media, which to be fair is a very small portion of practice, the Dimitri Patterson was off to the side. That was not the case today. We saw Dimitri Patterson in pads out on the field working with the Dolphins. So that's good. You know, he was on the injury report last week with a groin injury, but he was out there practicing today. So we like to see that. Will Davis was out there again. So things definitely looking good for those guys. Off to the side, we saw the rookie Jamar Taylor, and we saw quarterback Pat Devlin. But outside of that, feeling pretty good about the injury situation so far for the Miami Dolphins. And of course, it is very, 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 very early on in the regular season, but so far so good as far as the injury situation goes, 1+ week into the regular season. Neat note from the other day. Everybody remembers the game, obviously, and the touchdown pass between Ryan Tannehill and Brian Hartline. It was as nice a pass as maybe we've seen Ryan throw in 1+ seasons. And we found out today, did a little number crunching, that was the 1,000th passing touchdown in Miami Dolphin history.
Oh, wow.
Going all the way back to the first game against the Raiders, number one in 66, to this past Sunday, that was the 1,000th passing touchdown in Miami Dolphin history. And so I sort of started to like do some of the math in my head. And Dan Marino, 420 touchdowns. It's a number everybody knows by heart. That's 42% of the passing touchdowns in Miami Dolphins history. Think about that for a moment, because obviously, you know, from 66 to 83, there was no, or from 82, I guess, there was no Dan Marino. And then from 2000 until 2013, there's no Dan Marino. So he's got a nice chunk of the middle history of the franchise, but still 42% of the passing touchdowns thrown by Miami Dolphin players in the history of this franchise, going back 40-plus years to 1966, 42% of them belong to Dan Marino.
Pretty impressive number. And having blocked for I don't, maybe not 400 of them, but
well, that's
but,
what I was going to ask
a good
you.
Bulk of those those numbers. I'd like to know what that fit in my career category. But that just goes to show you the greatness of Dan Marino, what he was able to do back there with the ball, and how that era, how they changed the game. Marino and Duper and Clayton, they really changed the direction of the NFL. And you see where the NFL's gone today, where there's so many. I think there's over 60 or 70 passing touchdowns on opening day weekend. You look at teams, it's routine for teams to throw three or four touchdowns in a game. So I think as great as that stat will be, maybe Ryan Tannehill might end up his career, if he has a long one, and I don't want to put this on his shoulders.
Oh, here we go.
Okay, you know what? I'm not even going to complete that sentence.
Thank you.
I don't want to burden
that.
Him with the shadow of Marino. He's already living in that right now.
But it's going to be interesting to see how quickly we get to 2,000. I think the way the football is going right now, getting to 2,000 touchdowns, especially.
It won't take as many years.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. We're looking a little bit ahead in the future, looking to get to the next 1,000 touchdown passes. But still, kind of a neat note that
let's
little piece
of history.
Let's
just get 1,004.
We all witnessed.
I'm good with that.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. All right, as we said, busy first hour of the show, especially. We'll come back to a little locker room blitz. We'll hear from Richie Incognito, Mike Pouncey, and Olivier Vernon. Deion Jordan will join us live in studio, and we'll also maybe bring you a little bit of the press conferences taking place after practice today of both Ryan Tannehill and the head coach Joe Philbin. Create memories with your family that'll last a lifetime at the Dolphins' home opener against the Falcons. It's the kids' kickoff, and it's all about families. All kids 15 and under get $15 tickets plus a free Dolphins fathead. Visit dolphins.com to get your tickets today. We will take a 2-minute break, and when we come back, we'll hear from Richie Incognito, Mike Pouncey, and Olivier Vernon. You're listening to the Finchsiders, and you're watching on Fox Sports Florida.
We return to the Finsiders now.
Welcome back to the show with former Dolphins Keith Sims and Tuan Russell. I'm Jesse Agler. We are turning our attention today to this Sunday and the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck, Chuck Pagano, Reggie Wayne, Ahmad
T.Y.
Bradshaw,
Hilton.
T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton will be on the show tomorrow.
Oh,
we're going to talk to T.Y.
Yeah.
Hilton, the pride of FIU.
Tease. Yeah.
By the way, FIU is,
struggling a bit.
They might be missing T.Y. Hilton right about
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
They got Bethune-Cookman coming in, and the people that care about these things, so to speak, expect Bethune-Cookman to win.
I did hear
they are the underdogs.
Yeah, they are home underdogs to Bethune-Cookman. But anyway, we'll talk to T.Y. Hilton, who obviously has had a really, really great start to his career in Indianapolis. Nice to see a local guy make good. We'll talk to him on tomorrow's show as we get you ready for the Dolphins and the Colts on Sunday. Time now to do a little locker room blitz on this Wednesday. We'll hear from some of the Dolphin players and what they've had to say the last couple of days. We mentioned that the schedule is a little bit different right now. Usually around the NFL, Tuesday is the players' off day. Joe Philbin, the first couple weeks here, has mixed it up a bit, and he's giving the players Thursday off. Chip Kelly, by the way, in Philadelphia, is giving players Monday off. So you're getting some coaches now who are sort of starting to look at things with a little bit of a fresh perspective, and they're not just doing things because they've always been done a certain way, which is something I appreciate personally. But anyway, Richie Incognito, after practice yesterday, was asked about the new practice schedule and what it means for him.
I like the schedule. I like it. It's a change for us. You know, we're kind of creatures of habit. But to get to sleep in a little bit, you know, we start a little bit later, get an off day later in the week. I think it'll benefit us. You know, we'll have a little bit more pop come Sundays.
Little bit more pop come Sundays. He said it, Keith. Football players, everybody to a certain extent, I suppose, creatures of habit. And you know, for a veteran guy, now look, if you're a rookie, you don't know any different. But if, for a veteran guy that's been in the league 3, 4, 5, 6 years, you sort of know that, hey, you know, from September through January, Tuesday is going to be your day off, unless you're playing on Monday Night Football or Thursday night, but whatever. And now all of a sudden, it's just a totally different thing. It'll take some adjusting.
It's definitely going to take some adjusting. I'm still adjusting to it. It's still a shock in my head, and call it an old guard, but not having Tuesday off is just, it just doesn't feel right. But you know what? If it helps the team recover faster, if they feel fresher, and ultimately, if they win on Sunday, doesn't matter what day you have off, as long as it translates into wins, not losses.
I mean, you got to think about it. They get that lactic acid out of their bodies earlier. They get to practicing, kind of get back on the field, and then it's almost like the hump day. You get to rest, relax, a weird day, get to hang out, and then you go back to
You know what's another nice caveat for veterans is if Tuesday's not your day off and you got to practice and you're still beat up from the game, that might be easy, and I'm sure coaches will monitor it. You know, like I can't go today yet. I don't feel good until, because I know when I got in my 30s, I didn't feel good till Friday, Tuan. So
I still don't feel good.
Yeah, I feel worse now. But when you think about it, it might give those guys a little bit extra time off, but they're missing practice time. So hopefully it won't be an issue for coaches, because when your key players aren't able to practice during the day, it throws some things into a little turmoil. But we'll see how it goes.
One of the other points made by Joe Philbin was, hey, look, if we're in a situation where, you know, the trainers come to me on a Tuesday and be like, hey, we got like 8 guys that aren't going to be able to go today, then maybe you start to rethink it. But early in the year, everybody's pretty fresh. Everybody's pretty healthy. I think he's kind of trying to take advantage of that and using this. It'll be interesting to see just how long he keeps it up. All right, let's move from left guard with Incognito one spot to the right. Mike Pouncey, the Dolphins center, and really the guy that has, I think, emerged as the leader of the offensive line, at least from a dealing with the media standpoint. And everybody knows the run game did not get going the other day. It just wasn't there against the Cleveland Browns. And here's what Pouncey had to say kind of about the state of the running game at this point.
Well, they did a really good job. They had a real good game plan. When going into the game, we expected them to play something totally different. We watched film from their defensive coordinator a year ago when he was in Arizona, and it came out. They did a really good job. We went to our zebra personnel, and they stayed in their base defense instead of going to sub. And so, I mean, kudos to them. They did a really good job, but that's something we have to work on, because rush for 20 yards, We can't go out there. We're not going to win many football games doing that.
That's the bottom line. You're not going to win a lot running for only 20 yards. But it's interesting. You hear Pouncey talk about it. You hear Joe Philbin talk about it earlier in the week. You hear Mike Sherman talk about it earlier in the week. They all say, hey, there are things we could have done better. Could have, you know, run harder. Should have broken a few more tackles. Should have opened up some more holes, you know, second at whatever it was. But they're all very quick to point out that Cleveland did a really good job defensively. And you don't always hear that sort of, like, high level of praise for an opponent. They were clearly impressed and a little bit surprised, as you could tell there, by what Cleveland gave them in the front seven.
Let's just say it out loud. I think the Cleveland Browns defensive staff outcoached us in the running game because they were able to surprise us. And that can happen when you've got a new defensive coordinator coming in. Like Coach Sherman said, he went back and looked at what they did in Arizona, but Ray Horton came up with a completely different game plan focused on stop and run. And sometimes that happens. The thing that you like about what the Dolphins did is they recognized it and they shifted to the passing game, and they were able to get the win throwing the ball through the air. Now, they don't want to have that issue happen every single week, and they will look to correct it. But the first week of the season, there could be plenty of surprises. You look at Monday Night Football and what the Redskins had to deal with the Eagles. You didn't know what you were going to get, and it showed in that first half. NFL teams adjust. The Dolphins will adjust. I expect them to run the ball much better this weekend.
Keith, you said it perfectly. I mean, they adjusted. I mean, years past, if they stopped the run, we had no other options. Now we can throw the ball. Now we can switch it up. Now we can change our game plan on the fly. And very quickly, we can find something that works. And they found the passing game, a lot of short unders and outs and things like that, a lot of sideline passes. We were able to move the ball. And really, instead of running the ball, they were throwing these little outs that were like run plays. And I think that's what got us over the hump. So I'm loving to see that our team is flexible now. And number one, they take ownership when they do poorly. And they said, hey, we didn't do a good job, and now they're going to correct it, and now we can move forward.
All right, last cut from the locker room blitz comes on the defensive side of the ball, and it comes from second-year defensive lineman Olivier Vernon from the U.
U!
He's looking ahead to the matchup with Andrew Luck on Sunday.
One thing about Andrew Luck, he makes, you know, a lot of good plays with his feet, you know, outside the pocket. So if we can contain him and, you know, make them feel the pressure while being in the pocket, you know, it's going to be better for us and our secondary.
16 QB hits last week against Brandon Whedon. You'd like to see that number be high once again against Andrew Luck. Everybody you talk to, they bring up a guy when you compare him. Ben Roethlisberger, mm-hmm. In a little bit different body-wise, but A, Luck bigger than you probably realize, and B, he does a great job of extending plays, because you might hit him, you might get to him, he can step up, he can shake off the hit, extend the play, you know, wait for T.Y. Hilton to get open down the field, allow Reggie Wayne to break free across the field. He's one of those quarterbacks that keeps plays alive, and as a linebacker, Twan, you got to be really disciplined when you're playing against a guy like that.
He's done an amazing job. I mean, when you look at some of the things that he's done there where, you know, if the offensive line breaks down, which it doesn't break down a lot, where he's able to move out of the pocket, throw the ball down the field, roll out, and make sure he keeps his guys open. Because those, when you watch the wide receivers, they're coming back to the ball. If that pocket breaks down at all, he's running out, throwing the ball, and he's able to get it out, and they're able to move the yards. Hopefully we can get to him.
Challenge for those DBs also, you got to stay with your guy for a long time down the field, because those plays are extended. That's the locker room blitz on this Wednesday, and a lot of fun hearing from those guys as we start to get amped up a little bit for Sunday's game against the Colts. Attention, Fanatics, you can now ride Tri-Rail to and from all Dolphins home games. Avoid traffic and save money on parking. Visit dolphins.com/Tri-Rail for details. We'll take a two-minute break, and when we come back, we'll bring you some live coverage of Joe Philbin's post-practice press conference. Also, Deion Jordan will bring us live in studio. You're listening to the Finnsiders, and you're watching on Fox Sports Florida.
It's the Finnsiders with your host, Jesse Agler.
Welcome back to the show. Former Dolphins Tuan Russell and Keith Sims are with us today. We'll take your text message questions at 347-347. Your phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS, 1-855-GOFINS. The Dolphins are outside here in Davie just wrapping up the practice day. After practice, head coach Joe Philbin, quarterback Ryan Tannehill will both go to the podium for their post-practice press conferences. Tannehill usually just talks once a week to the media on Wednesdays, so we'll try and bring you a little bit of live coverage of those press conferences. Also, Deion Jordan, the rookie first-round pick out of Oregon, will join us live in studio coming up in the next couple of minutes, and he's getting ready to face Andrew Luck. A little Pac-12 action there, Oregon and Stanford. They've played each other a few times, and Deion Jordan has never lost to Andrew Luck. So you have to believe that he's thinking about that this week as he gets ready to face off against the Indianapolis Colts. Kind of on the other side of that, Jonathan Martin, the Dolphins' left tackle, for the second consecutive year, faces off with one of his best friends in Andrew Luck, and they talk all the time. Not so much this week, though, and you can certainly understand how that works.
Yeah, I think that'd be tough, but I'm sure they have a great relationship. When you've got a left tackle that's protected your blind side, there's a special relationship there between a quarterback and a left tackle. But I'm sure if they talk this week, it's going to be a little smack talk. Yeah, you want everyone to come out of the game safely, have a great game, but you're not going to win. And I'm sure Jonathan Martin, just like the rest of us Dolphin fans, remember what Andrew Luck did last year. You know, our defense played a great game, but his escapability getting the ball down the field and single-handedly he won that game. It was a great shootout between Luck and Tannehill. So I'm anticipating the same type of fireworks, and this Dolphin defense is going to have its hands full. Even though Andrew Luck was sacked four times last week against the Raiders, and the Dolphins got six sacks against the Cleveland Browns, I'm sure they're looking to shore up their offensive line, just like we're looking to shore up our running game situation. So it's going to be a great test, another contest on the road for the Dolphins.
Tuan, as a defensive guy, and you're the linebacker in the room right now, and you're getting ready to play a quarterback like this, he's not a traditional scrambler in that he's looking to run first, but he is absolutely more than capable of running when he gets into trouble. You know, what's the approach? What do the linebackers do? What does the defensive line have to do? I heard earlier this week when we were, you know, talking to different players, gap responsibility is a big thing. Talk us through that, what it means, and sort of the mentality you have to have on defense when you're facing a quarterback who he'll hang out in the pocket, but if he doesn't see it, he's happy to go and take off. And he did just that, rushing for the game-winning touchdown on Sunday.
I mean, the key for a defensive line, they want the gap responsibilities. I mean, the pocket to break down a little bit for the offensive line. And when it breaks down, they just have to make sure they're in the right spots, because a lot of times they'll force that quarterback out by design, but if those defensive ends aren't lined up and they don't still have contain, you can take a play where initially it started off as a negative play for the Colts. They can end up getting 15, 20 more yards by someone not doing their assignment. So if everybody plays assignment football, and you know the keys, the corners covering up, the linebackers are where they need to be, now all of a sudden the defensive line gets there. When they get there, they have to stay in their gaps in order to bring them down for a sack.
There you go. So a little bit of a look at how the defense is, you know, at least generally speaking, going to be getting ready for Andrew Luck. But yeah, he had a huge game last year. Passing the ball against the Dolphins in what was a really fun contest and sort of the first meeting possibly of many over the years between Ryan Tannehill and Andrew Luck. And obviously I know the quarterbacks don't face off with one another, but anytime you get two, you know, big time QBs in a game, that's the way we all look at it. And I think that's the fun way to sort of look at it. Ryan Tannehill doesn't talk about it. You know, he's as even keeled as they come, but you got to figure somewhere in the back of his mind, he knows everybody talks about Andrew Luck. He knows everybody talks about Robert Griffin III. He knows everybody talks about Russell Wilson, who he beat head-to-head last year. You know, he knows that, and he knows that nationally people are a lot more interested in discussing those guys than they are in discussing him. And granted, those guys all went to the playoffs last year, and that's a big part of it. But you have to feel there's a little bit extra sense of pride on the line here, especially if they can come out with a victory.
Well, I think the best way to shift that conversation, if I'm Ryan Tannehill, and I want to be in the conversation is to keep this team winning and then bring it to the playoffs, because those guys, rightfully so, like you said, brought their teams as rookies to the playoffs and made a big stink. So I think Ryan Tannehill has that ability, this team, this year, because he's surrounded by better talent. He's got the offensive firepower he didn't have a year ago. This defense looks like it's going to be a top five defense that is going to dictate the tempo to every offense it faces. So it's all there in front of him. Now it's just up to him to continue to progress and do what he did this past Sunday. Has a similar performance. I think that bodes well for his name in national conversation.
I think that's the key. I mean, you know, if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I am going over to the defensive room and I'm tapping those guys on the shoulder and say, hey, get up the field, hit them in the mouth, knock them out, and I'll make sure I put enough touchdowns on the board to get us to win. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill, yes, I do believe that he's a competitor, and he is looking at the corner of his eye, okay, what is that guy doing? I want to make sure I'm relevant. I want to make sure the Miami Dolphins is on the map, and he knows the ball goes through his hands every single play, and he has to make sure that he gives it to the right person, that he's a true mail carrier, whether he's handing it off or whether he's throwing the football. And if he does that, then we'll be in the playoffs, and then everyone gets that national acclaim that we're looking for.
Makes sense to me. All right, remember, you can text the show at 347-347. Call us up at 1-855-5-GO-FINS. You can also join the conversation online at dolphins.com. We've got the live chat taking place in there. Tristan is moderating it, and we'll take questions from those guys throughout the show. Practice has wrapped up here at the Doctor's Hospital training facility in Davie. The head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Joe Philbin, just a couple of moments away from beginning his post-practice press conference outside by the practice fields. We'll bring you a little bit of live coverage of Joe Philbin's press conference when it takes place. Also, Ryan Tannehill expected to address the media, and Deion Jordan will join us live in studio. That's everything we've got coming up in the next few minutes as we sort of turn the page from the 23-10 win over the Browns and full speed ahead on the Indianapolis Colts this week. Let's go back to that schedule thing for a minute, though, guys. You know, Tuesday, again, is the traditional day off for NFL players, and it makes sense in this way that you sort of stop with the previous game on Monday. We'll talk more about that. Joe Philbin is at the podium. Let's have a look, have a listen at the head coach's post-practice press conference on this Wednesday.
Guys have worked hard these 3 days, and obviously we're going to take tomorrow off and continue our preparation for this game on Friday.
Joe, what were your impressions of Indianapolis's run defense? I mean, they allowed 171, 112 to Terrell Pryor, but the read option?
I mean, they play very sound. I mean, they're very well coached. Coach Pagano has a defensive background. He's a very good coach. Greg Minuski's been a coordinator in the league at a number of different places. And I think they're very sound, very solid in what they do.
How well did you think Weaver and Wheeler and
I thought they played well. There's a lot of room for improvement on defense, but they played fast. They played decisively, and I thought they did a good job. We still have to tackle better. There's a ton of things to work on in all three phases, but I thought they got off to a good start.
Talk about there. People are talking about walking the other end of the receiver core of Indianapolis.
Yeah, well, they have one of the best players of the last decade, obviously, or 12 years. I'm not sure exactly how long. He's very, very productive. He catches the football extremely well. He finds a way to get open. They've added speed, and he's looking like Hayward Bay. Looks like he's playing very well. Ty Hilton's explosive as well. They've got two good tight ends, young, athletic tight ends. And he throws the ball to his running backs. It's a formidable pass game. There's no question about it.
Last year was kind of a fun game for the fans because they threw the top of the
quarterback. I don't know if I would describe it the same way.
Well, but now they're second year. I mean, I know you don't get into this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You think it's a fun game for the fans to see?
Nah, I'm excited.
Yeah,
again, I'm excited about the football. I know our football team's excited about going and play there. They're a very good football team. They were 11-5 a year ago. They're 1-0 right now. They play very well at home. It's a great challenge. This is what competitors should be excited about playing in this football game.
It seemed like Ryan broke the brand a lot on third down on Sunday. Something like six times in 5 weeks. Very good first down. Assuming that's why you brought him in here. What makes Brandon Williams so good on third
downs? Yeah. Well, I think we've talked a little bit about it, Adam. I mean, he does have real good route savvy and coverage savvy. You know, he's got instinct. He's got awareness. He's got feel for, what type of leverage he's getting. He can diagnose the coverage relatively quickly and find kind of a soft spot. He found some open areas in zone. He found some, attack the proper leverage in man a couple times. And, he's did a nice job.
Is it encouraging that he's got
All right, that's Joe Philbin's post-practice press conference taking place outside now. If you're interested in checking that out, we put up all of his press conferences every day on Dolphins.com after practice, so you can check those out. Lance Snacks wants to bring you to the Buffalo game. Visit Dolphins.com/Lance Snacks to register for a chance to win tickets for you and 19 of your friends to the Miami Buffalo game on October 20th. Start your school year off right with Lance Snacks and the Dolphins. We'll take a two-minute break when we come back. We hope to find Deion Jordan live in our studio. He'll join us soon. Also, we'll try and bring you a little bit of Ryan Tannehill's post-practice press conference. You're listening to the Finsiders, and you are watching on Fox Sports Florida.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back to the Finsiders with former Dolphins Keith Sims, Antoine Russell. I'm Jesse Agler. We'll take your text message questions at 347-347. Your phone calls at 1-855-55-GO-FINS. Joe Philbin continuing with his daily press conference outside. Bring you a little bit of Ryan Tannehill's in a few minutes if they get to that. Also, Deion Jordan, the rookie defensive end. And he's a little bit more than a defensive end, isn't he? I mean, 17 defensive snaps the other day, 17 snaps on special teams. Jordan will join us live in studio coming up in a couple of minutes. We got a very good look, even for week one, Keith, of all the different kinds of things you get the sense they want to do up front, you know, moving different people around. I saw Derek Shelby dropping into coverage. Deion dropped into coverage. They definitely are living up to the expectation that they're going to go a little mad scientist with this front seven.
Well, I'm going to use a word that I don't want to use much longer, and that's preseason. And we talked about it during preseason that Kevin Coyle had so many different packages throughout there, and he was pretty vanilla in preseason. Well, we saw against Cleveland, when you don't hold anything back, the difference is in how confusing that can be for the offensive line, and it creates one-on-one matchups, which the guys who are beating the offensive line, their right guard needs to apply for a different job because he gave up, I think, 4 sacks on himself. And Deion Jordan, I know we'll have him in studio, he was facing one of the best left tackles in the game in Joe Thomas and got his sack against him with his hustle and his perseverance. So I'm looking forward to not just what they did last week, but continue, because I know Kevin Coyle didn't open up the entire playbook
in the first game.
So I think they just gave teams a taste and things to look and practice against, but there's more coming.
I mean, the one thing that I liked is that the guys weren't in the same spot every time. When you line up on film and you say, okay, that guy lines up here, he's going to do this, you couldn't say that on Sunday, and that was the exciting part. And our defense played physical, and they ran to the ball, and it was swarm tackling. And when they got there and they hit the guy, it was with mean intentions. It's almost like they have a different spark this year. I don't know if it's because of the scheme. I don't know if because they have something to prove, but they had a different spark than maybe they had in a lot of the games last year. And that's the thing as a former linebacker that I get excited about is when you hit somebody, the other guy's like, I don't want that anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, when your big guy gets 2.5 sacks and he's leading the way, I love it when Cameron Wake's getting off the ball, and they all shared those sacks, and they all had a great game, especially that defensive line.
I mean, you look at the numbers from the game the other day, and again, it was outstanding from the defense. Not only the 6 sacks, but the 16 QB hits, 3 right. interceptions, a forced fumble. The Browns are 1 of 14 on third down. I mean, as a defensive player, it can't get much better than that.
No, absolutely. I mean, when you're getting picks and you're getting sacked, it all works together, because if that defensive line is getting off the ball and they're hitting that quarterback in the mouth, bad things are going to happen for the opposing team, and that's what happened. And Cleveland definitely made some mistakes. And, you know, from a fan's perspective, it's exciting to see the Dolphins playing, dominating defense, playing at a high level, and the offense will catch up. That run game is going to catch up. We will figure it out, and when it does, now we're going to be talking about what's going next.
And one of the reasons why they'll figure it out is because what they were able to do in the passing game. You said they feed off one another. Well, if you're throwing the ball like the Dolphins did against Cleveland, now the Colts have to sit here and say, how do we stop Mike Wallace? How do we stop Brandon Gibson in the slot? How do we stop, you know, Brian Hartline on the edge? And they're going to commit more players to that, and that may open up the running game in turn. So it goes hand in hand, like you said.
That's it. Everything's going to work for you to have the complete performance, and that's the goal every week, is to have the complete performance. Join the Dolphins Orange Pages today. Take advantage of special offers and network with other business professionals through the Dolphins Business Alliance. Visit orangepages.miamidolphins.com. We will take a two-minute break, and when we come back, we expect to have Deion Jordan with us live in studio. You're listening to the Finsiders, and you're watching on Fox Sports Florida.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Welcome back to the show. Getting ready for the Dolphins and the Colts on Sunday. Little Andrew Luck. This game's got a Pac-12 feel to it. We'll talk about that. Deion Jordan, the rookie defensive end from the University of Oregon, joining us live in studio now, just off the practice field. Let's start with the other day, though. Your first regular season NFL game. Congratulations. How was it out there?
It was great, you know, just having the ability to go out there and, you know, get a W in a away game, first of all, and especially in the type of environment that we're in. It was a real good experience for me personally.
We saw you on defense. We saw you on special teams. That started a lot of conversation around town. You look like you're enjoying the special teams thing. I see you on kick coverage, you're running down like you're going to kill somebody. Are you enjoying the special teams aspect of it?
Yeah, man, anytime I get a chance to step out there, you know, it's a great experience, and I just try to make the most out of it. Of course, I played a lot of special teams in high school and also at the college level, so it wasn't nothing new for me.
You know, Deion, one NFL game, one sack. Tell me what it felt like to get your first sack in the NFL against a premier left tackle in Joe Thomas.
Yeah, man, I knew it was going to be tough. You know, they had me and Oliver Vernon out there, you know, kind of mixing it up. So I knew it was going to be a little tough, but I just had to keep coming. And, you know, eventually towards the end of that game, I squeaked one by. Unfortunately, I had got 15-yarder with it, but you know, the sack still counted. So
I think they forgive the penalty because you got the sack. Tell us the difference between pass rushing in college where you were a beast to now in the NFL and facing the quality linemen that you're facing.
One thing that I really noticed was consistency, you know, especially when I get to see a guy like Wake out there, and you get to see the way he comes off the ball. And in that game, I felt like nobody was even touching him for a minute, as fast as he was getting over there. But I noticed the consistency and just the way he comes off the ball, and it's just a repetitive type of thing for him.
Deion, I love the fact that you are playing special teams because, I mean, for me personally, that's how I stayed in the National Football League. And I've always seen if a guy can play at a high level on special teams, he definitely can play at a high level on defense. But in preparation of the game, how different is it to prepare for an NFL football game than the way you prepare it in college?
Definitely at this level, it's a lot to take in, you know, throughout the week on both sides as far as special teams and as far as the defense. You get a lot of things going on into the game plan. So you really got to be focused and dialed in when you're in meetings and when you're out there on the field. You know, you just got to get out there and just prepare, you know, as well as you can so you can find, you know, just that one advantage when you step out there on Sunday.
Is the game starting to slow down for you? Is it starting to get to a point where you can start anticipating the opposing team, where you can be you?
Oh, yeah. You know, the more I start to understand my role, you know, the better it is for me. And, you know, I just got to go out there and compete and just play fast.
Deion Jordan is with us as we talk about his first regular season NFL game the other day against the Browns and, of course, his upcoming game against old buddy Andrew Luck and the Indianapolis Colts. We mentioned it, you know, you kind of alluded to it being used in different ways, doing different things. Are you enjoying that? I imagine it's a fun deal. I mean, it's not going to get boring. You're not just going to line up one way and do one thing. It probably keeps you on your toes a little bit.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's exciting. You know, anytime you sit in that meeting room and you hear your name being called in so many different packages and coach telling you, we have this for you, we have that for you, you know, it's really exciting. You know, just lets me know, you know, I just got to be prepared. Like I said, you know, I got to find that one play, you know, that have my name on it. So,
you know, Deion, I had to block some of the best pass rushers in NFL history, and I had the privilege of playing with Bruce Smith. And he told me as a great pass rusher, what he learned early in his career was he knew immediately on his first step when he had that tackle beat, whether the tackle was short-sitting too far or he was on his heels. Have you gotten to the point where you can see early on in your first step as your pass rushing, hey, I can beat this guy?
You know, I don't think I'm at his level yet, but, you know, the more I continue to watch myself, you know, as far as practice and things like that, I kind of notice, you know, the little things that I'm doing, you know, that's setting up the thing for the offensive tackle there. So, you know, for me, the main thing is I just try to get off the ball. You know, I understand that's to my advantage. So, you know, I understand, like, with me right now at this level, being a rookie, as long as I continue that get off and play with a great speed, you know, and I can find a way to get that advantage.
Deion, I know it's a short week for you guys. I mean, it's earlier in the week for you guys, and you're coming off a 6-sack game where everybody played well and everybody was getting off the ball. Coming to the Colts game, what challenges do the Colts present for our defense, and any insight you can give us on how do you guys anticipate attacking them?
Well, you know, they have that great quarterback. You know, he's made a lot of plays, you know, especially last year being a rookie. You know, he made a lot of big plays. And, you know, we just kind of just had to just find a way to just to keep him contained, you know, as far as, you know, just making plays on the ball when he put them in the air. And he also does a good job of making people miss, you know, when he's in the pocket. So, you know, we just got to find those advantages, because last year, you know, after watching a lot of film, it was a really close game, and we missed, you know, missed that win just by – you know, that small margin.
Yeah, he's a slippery guy, Andrew Luck, in the pocket, no doubt about that. You know that not just from watching film from last year's Dolphins-Colts game, but you went head-to-head a couple of times, and you were at Oregon, he was at Stanford. I believe the Ducks were undefeated in those games against Andrew Luck, which I was reading about today. Do you have any extra insight on this guy that maybe you can share with some of the veteran guys?
Man, all I do, I think they know now. They got a chance to see him live last year. So, you know, they see it. One thing that I noticed when I played him at the college level, he was already had that professional type of mindset. You know, he really controlled his team, you know, and the guys looked up to him. They followed him because he had that type of insight. And, you know, I just feel like as far as a defense, as long as we just get under his skin and rally him up, you know, we can find a way, you know, to make this guy give us the game.
When you think about how do you describe our defense, how do you describe our personality on defense, if you had to put it in a couple words?
I'll just say fast and very versatile. You know, we have a lot of playmakers out there, so I'll just say versatility.
Dan, when you look at where you are, one game, one sack, most players and the great players sit down and kind of map out what they want to do over the course of the year. What is the goals? If I walked in your goal-setting room, mm-hmm. what would that look like? You know, what is successful rookie season for Deion Jordan?
Well, honestly, for me, success is winning. That's how I measure my success. You know, I just measure by the win and loss columns. But as a personal thing, you know, they brought me here to sack the quarterback. You know, so as many opportunities I can to get my hand on those quarterbacks, on those opposing quarterbacks. You know, that'll be a great, you know, stepping stone for me as far as the rookie.
That's the point. Absolutely. Deion Jordan is here. Got a few fan questions coming in online for you. Let's get to those. FinFan 1974 wants to know if you prefer standing up or having your hand in the ground when you're getting ready to rush the quarterback.
As long as they let me go straight ahead, it really doesn't matter to me.
It's a good answer, and it makes a lot of sense. Fred wants to know, hey, you played in nice, cool Oregon for a couple of years. How's your adjustment to the South Florida heat gone?
Oh, man, I feel like I've adjusted to it now, but, you know, it's a grind to get out there and every day at practice, you know, to try to get through those days. It's a really grind.
It's an advantage, though, and that's something everybody learns when they come down here, and those other teams have to come and play the Dolphins in the heat. All right, last one from Jamesy. He was referring to your capabilities as a pass catcher. He wants to know, hey, Dolphins have had red zone issues the last couple of years. You ready and available if they need to throw you in a tight end or anything like that on offense?
Yeah, man, if they need me, I'll be ready. You know, I've been worried. I do a little bit of dropping and coverage, so I've been on the jugs machine just in case.
There you go. I like it.
When was the last time you ever heard a defensive end not ready to catch a football?
Yeah, no, he's ready to go. Jason Taylor was talking about it for like 5 years at the end. That's all he was talking about. I remember a couple of years ago they used Solii at fullback.
They did.
I like that
last
down
year
at the goal line. So I'm all for that kind of creativity and opening it up. Deion, thanks for coming in. Always good to see you. Always good to talk to you again. Congratulations on first game, first sack, first win,
yes,
and many more of all those things.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys having me.
Appreciate you. All right. It is the Orange Pages. You can take advantage of special offers and network with other business professionals through the Dolphins Business Alliance. Visit orangepages.miamidolphins.com. Big thank you to Deion Jordan. We'll take a two-minute break, and when we come back, we'll put a cap on the first hour of this Wednesday show. You're listening to the Finsiders, and you're watching on Fox Sports Florida.
We return to the Finsiders now.
Welcome back to the show. Final segment, hour number one. Last segment on Fox Sports Florida. Be going the rest of the way on radio and on Dolphins.com. Tuan Russell is here. Keith Sims is here. It's obviously, you know, it's September 11th, and every year it just... It's a day you sit back and you think about other stuff for a few minutes, which is always good. But we're here as a distraction. That's what sports is. And I think we all learned that back in 2001. Once things sort of got back to usual a little bit, you kind of had a sense of, all right, this can be a nice distraction from the real stuff, the serious stuff, the important stuff. So I hope we're distracting you a little bit today. We will talk a little bit more about that with former Dolphin linebacker Derek Rogers in the second hour of the show. Served 4 years in the Air Force, starting linebacker for the Dolphins that first first game back against the Raiders, that memorable game after the September 11th attacks. And we'll talk to our old buddy, Derek Rogers, coming up in the second hour of the show. We'll take your text messages at 347-347, your phone calls at 1-855-GO-FINS. And, of course, we've got Tristan Jones chatting with the fans online at Dolphins.com. Get to some of their questions now.
All right, these guys want to talk about some of the keys to winning the game against the Colts. And when that comes up,
sure.
Rob says, you know, is the most important key to winning the game being able to get the running game going since the Colts' defense is weak on run defense?
I wouldn't say that's the number one key. I mean, it's important. You can't do what you did last week against the Browns and win a lot of games in the National Football League. And look, there's going to be more than one key to victory for the Dolphins in a game like this. It's a really good opponent. I think the turnover battle is big. I think third down is big again. Ryan Tannehill having a big game is going to be big, but there's no doubt. Just from a broader philosophical perspective, whatever, you got to be able to run the ball in the NFL. If for no other reason, it's going to help you pass the ball a little bit more
effectively. From the big picture perspective, absolutely. You don't want to come out of next week's game still being ranked at the bottom of the NFL rushing and only rushing for under 20, 25 yards. They need to get a more consistent running effort because it opens things up. But to me, that's not the key. The key is Ryan Tannehill playing well. To me, his receivers getting open and catching the ball and the defense continuing the performance from last week. Andrew Luck is a much bigger upgrade at quarterback than Whedon was. Let's be honest here. Brandon Whedon, nice quarterback, but not on the level of Andrew Luck. And Andrew Luck runs the football more, 38 yards last week against the Raiders, creates, holds the ball, like you said, Ben Roethlisberger style. We saw it last year where I remember play. I think it was Randy Starks was bringing him down. He stepped out, threw the ball for a first down on a third down, and it was over 10 yards.
Yeah,
so those are the kind of things that Andrew Luck brings to the table. His team believes in him as a leader. He's had multiple fourth quarter comebacks or winning game-winning drives. So this is going to be a true test for both the defense and the offense. It could be another great game, another shootout. It could be one of many games that we get to enjoy between these two great quarterbacks for the next couple of years.
It's going to be one of those games, Swan. You get the same. I mean, you're going to have to score in the 20s at the very least. This isn't going to be some defense drag him out kind of thing, even though the Dolphin defense is really good. But Indianapolis, with the way the rules are set up in the NFL, you got to figure they're going to score some points this week.
I think it's going to boil down to one thing, and that's getting to Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck threw for 433 yards last year, and if we can't get to him and make him, pull that ball down and run, if we can make him run the ball and move around the pocket, I think we have a chance. But if he's able to sit back there and just pick us apart, our DBs can only cover for so long. And the key is getting to him, is sacking him, getting him on the ground, and that plays to our strength. Our strength are our team. If we have to pick one position, it's our defensive line. We have the most strength there. In fact, if you look at our salary cap, most of our money is spent there. So that's our strength. So that's playing to our strength. I think that's going to be a big bonus for us, that their strength is going to go to our strength, is getting to Andrew Luck. And if we can get to him, he can't get the ball to all those dangerous wide receivers, and we have a great chance to win the game.
Yeah, so again, not to totally discount the guy's point about getting the running game going, because they absolutely need to get the running game going. I think we just gave you like eight things. They're a little bit higher on the priority list this week. And again, you got to get the running game going. I don't want to discount that. But even though it was miserable the other day, it's just not at the top of my priority list. I think part of that also is that I think the running game will be better. Like, it can't be worse. It can't be that bad again. Just like, I can't even contemplate
our leading rusher can't be 14 yards.
Right.
I mean,
we
got to
fix rush
that.
Can't be under 1 yard.
Right.
0.9.
That does not happen often. I don't expect it. The Colts' run defense is not nearly as stout as Cleveland. But at the same time, Indianapolis is going to come in emphasizing making the Dolphins one-dimensional. That's what every defense wants to do. You're coming off a bad performance. They're going to test the Dolphin offensive line and the Dolphins running scheme, make sure they continue to run the football. So it's something that's got to be changed.
No doubt about it. All right, let's go to Tristan. Get to one or two more before we end the hour.
All right, staying on the topic of the Colts defense, one of the chatter wants to know if, with Robert Mathis being the Colts' only real pass rushing threat, do you think that will provide the Finns offense an ability to give Ryan Tannehill more time in the pocket?
I mean, look, as much as we're talking about the Dolphins wanting to get to Andrew Luck, you better believe that the Colts are doing everything they can to game plan to get to Ryan Tannehill. That's how you win games in today's National Football League. Every team wants to sit back there in the shotgun and throw and throw and throw and throw. And Robert Mathis is very good, and they will find other ways besides just Robert Mathis to get to Ryan Tannehill. Whether they're successful or not, I can't tell you. We'll find out on Sunday. But you better believe they are going to be coming from different directions. And if that means blitzing a corner or a safety, bring in a couple of linebackers, they're going to try and make life miserable for the Dolphins quarterback. Lance Snacks wants to bring you to the Buffalo game. Visit dolphins.com/Lance Snacks to register for a chance to win tickets for you and 19 of your friends to the Miami Buffalo game on October 20th. Start your school year off right with Lance Snacks and the Miami Dolphins. We'll take a break on radio and online. That's going to be it for television. We'll talk to you again at 5 on Fox Sports Florida, but the show continues until 7 o'clock. We'll take more of your questions, your texts, your calls, and we'll also talk to former Dolphin linebacker Derek Rogers. Finsiders continues next on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.
Number 2!
Want to be on the inside?
We've got you covered. It's the Finsiders.
Joining Jesse on today's show, it's Keith Sims, whose idea of a great offense involves a lot of time on the ground.
Run it, run it.
Are we really going to go back to the Stone Age? You played for Dan Marino. With Dan Marino, you blocked.
And I wanted to run with Dan as quarterback.
Rounding out the crew, it's Twan Russell, happy to talk football or, you know, give dating tips.
Hey, if you're a single guy and you want to get to know a girl, you take her to a movie. If I'm that girl, you're an idiot. You want to take a girl to dinner so you can get to know her. You want to take her to miniature golfing, something where you can see her personality.
Mini golf.
Yeah, but I'm married now. You know, I got a good one.
Also, Tristan Jones is hanging with the fans as our comment center anchor, or a navigator.
I'm the navigator.
You are the navigator.
Right, isn't that what I'm navigating my way through the
You're
high seas,
to.
The choppy high seas.
It's very choppy.
It's the Finsiders.
Navigator.
They are the anchor. They weigh her down.
Oh,
she's
do
the navigator.
Ever. Do they ever.
She is the navigator. Welcome back to the show. Hour number two. It's the non-televised hour, as Cuba Nation texted in the other day. It's the hour where we all just, you know, the company leaves
take
and everybody.
Tie off,
yeah, you just take your pants off and you sit around. That's
Whoa.
What he said the other day. It's nothing, you know, it's like when you get comfortable into your sweatpants at night. That's what he meant. You put on your gym shorts. You relax.
All right,
that's
boxes.
The second hour of the show. We don't all wear Under Armour all the time, Twan Russell. Some of us have to go home and get comfortable after a day of
work.
Well,
some people actually have a contract where they have to display Under Armour at work. So.
See how we flaunted that contract?
Yeah, that's
a clothing
nice.
Contract.
That's right.
Oh,
I don't
Twan's
have a
clothing deal.
The Dolphins have a clothing contract. I'm just a part of it.
You and nobody else, which means it's
what
just
do you. Mean?
We're
whole
part of it. We
my
don't
whole
get
department,
oh, department.
And the 200,000 kids that we serve.
The kids don't work for you.
Well, they get the stuff.
Yeah, but that's a nice thing out for the community. That's got
right.
to
I got to wear it so I can look the part.
Twan Russell is here.
It's
Keith
free
Sims
for me.
Is here. That's it. Hey. You can text us at 347-347. Call us up at 1-855-GO-FINS. Fun first hour of the show. Good to catch up with Deion Jordan. You know, there's been so much concern about Deion Jordan, going back to he's going to miss time because of the rule where you had to finish up at Oregon. Then it was the injury. Then it was he's playing special teams. Then it was he was kind of hurt again. It was all this concern, and you roll up to week one of the season the other day. He's out there defensively. He's out there special teams. He gets his first career sack. Granted, it gets a little bit of an asterisk with the face mask, but it does count as a sack. And this guy just – he looks like he's ready to go, man. I got just nothing but excitement when it comes to Deion Jordan. And the nice thing, and we've been saying this for months, is you don't have to push him into the starting lineup. You got Olivier Vernon playing well. Obviously, you got Cam Wake. You got Derek Shelby. You've got other guys at that position that you're more than comfortable with. And so you can kind of pick your spots with Deion Jordan and really, from a physical standpoint, from a mental standpoint, ease him into life at the National Football League level.
Absolutely. And I loved his attitude, his smile, his enthusiasm for the game. He looks and sounds like he's having fun, Twan, and it could be an overwhelming thing, and it could be a tremendous amount of pressure being a first-round pick. Not only a first-round pick, the first defensive player picked in the draft, the third pick in the draft, a player that the Dolphins traded picks to go up and get. So that's a lot of pressure on him, but he doesn't seem like it's getting to him. He recognizes he's got a lot of talent around him. He's not putting that pressure on himself, but yet when he's given the opportunity, he'll go out and do whatever they ask of him. And at the bottom line, his goal is just to win. You got to love a young rookie like that that's less self-serving and more about the team.
The stage is not too big for him, and that's the thing that you like about him. He holds himself to a high standard. And the thing that I like about Deion the most is that it changes the way we play our defense. I mean, he's the type of guy that as he matures and as he grows, we can create some very exotic style defenses because he has the athletic ability to rush the passer, cover cover a tight end. He has the ability to do some different things. So we can do some exotic things and put people in very difficult situations, and he could be the person that allows us to do that.
All right, some good texts coming in at 347-347. We'll get to those. Time now, though, for the injury report presented by Doctors Hospital, the official wellness provider of the Miami Dolphins. We'll start with the Indianapolis Colts tight end Dwayne Allen. Did not practice today. He's got a hip injury. He played the other day, and he's a guy that is a real target for Andrew Luck and somebody they expect semi-big things out of this year. So that is something to keep an eye on. Dwayne Allen, the tight end, did not practice for the Colts today. Meanwhile, for Miami, we told you Dimitri Patterson was back out there today in the portion of practice that was open to the media. No Jamar Taylor, though. And Jamar Taylor tweeting in the last few minutes a couple of things that might give you some sense of where he's at physically. First, he tweeted, "In due time," with an exclamation point, which means obviously it's not yet that time, but he's showing a good deal of patience, which as a rookie has got to be really tough, man. You just want to get out there and contribute. I feel for Jamar Taylor. He followed that tweet up with another that said, "The plan is to stay out there once I'm out there." I think that's important to think about because of the kind of injury he has, that sports hernia injury. You feel like you're better and you come back and then all of a sudden you take two steps back. And we might have seen that from him earlier on during the preseason. You know, he sat out for a while and he came back and then he went away. He came back and he went away. So he's obviously, along with the trainers and the doctors, taking that approach that, hey, we don't want to put you back out there until we know this thing is totally good to go.
And absolutely. I mean, I remember in college I had a hernia, and if you're not careful, you could put yourself months down the road behind. So it's smart that we're slowing his regimen down to get him stronger, allow him to do the things that he needs to do, get that core strong so he can regain back the activity. And people don't realize it. When you start talking about those core muscles and those stomach muscles, that stuff starts to, you know, become very challenging for you because everything in your body goes through those muscles. So you have to make sure not just his, you know, that area is strong, but everything that connects to it is strong. So I'm glad that we're slowing him down. I'd rather him be ready, and when he comes back, we can use him opposed to him being half in and half out.
You know, Tuan, most offensive linemen don't have to worry about the muscles in the stomach area and hernias. Really don't infect the offensive line too much, but I'm glad they're taking it slow with Taylor. I mean, I think you said, Jesse, we saw him come back, and he's anxious to get back out there, but we've got some good players, some veterans in front of Patterson and Grimes who are doing a great job. Will Davis is out there. Nolan Carroll's out there. Jimmy Wilson. So it's nice to have the depth that we have in the defensive backfield so we're not forced to push him back out there. And like you said, Tuan, push him out there too soon and send him back and then lose him for the season or something.
Right. There's no point.
Something foolish like that. And I think that's a great call by the Dolphin medical staff and the coaches to be patient with Jamar Taylor.
Kevin O'Neill's been doing it for a long time. He knows what he's doing.
No, they know exactly what they're doing. And remember, too, I mean, I know he's a second-round pick, and so you want to see him out there. But you, like Deion Jordan, you're okay at that position. Yeah. You know, you've got enough other guys, especially now that Will Davis is kind of back at practice, the other rookie cornerback. You're not in a situation where you're, like, almost relying on this guy for immediate impact. I know you draft him in the second round, and so you'd love immediate impact, but you're okay at corner. You are. And Brent Grimes being here helps you in that situation. Dimitri Patterson playing at the level that he's playing helps you out there. Nolan Carroll getting it together helps you out there. Will Davis showing that he might be able to play, you know, significant minutes at this level at this point is allowing you to slow play it with Jamar Taylor, which medically is obviously the right thing to do. 347-347, the text number. Bob from Chapel Hill wants to know, how come Deion Jordan's sack counted if there was a face mask penalty? Well, they didn't replay the down. I mean, the play happened. They took the 15 yards, and the penalty happened, but the sack, it's still a sack. He brought down Andrew Luck, 15 yards, first down. Obviously, it's not the way you want it to happen, but the play happened. The play occurred. It was not a replay of a down or anything like that. Jacob from California points out several ex-Dolphins on this Indianapolis team. Vontae Davis, Thomas, Eric Weldon, Samson Satelli, a couple of starters on the offensive line. He said, just thought that's kind of funny. Yeah, I mean, it happens. You get guys going all different places, of course, in this era of free agency. But that is a pretty heavy number of guys on an opposing team. If there's one of those guys that this could be an issue for, and I don't mean issue in a bad way. I mean an issue as far as motivation, all those kinds of things. I think it would be our old buddy Vontae Davis. I imagine knowing Vontae, knowing his personality, he is going to be very fired up on Sunday for this game.
Pretty fresh. Where Samson Satelli was a few years ago. Donald Thomas was many years ago. He spent time in New England, so he's already been in that situation. This is the second time Vontae Davis is going to have an opportunity to face the team that let him go last year in training camp. So, yeah, it'll definitely be a chip on his shoulder. And he still has a lot to prove. He was a first-round pick and still hasn't lived up to those expectations fully yet. He's got a great opportunity facing a young quarterback and a revamped receiving corps. So if Vontae Davis wants to shine, it'll be against the Dolphins. It'll be a great test for him.
I completely agree. I mean, the way Vontae left that organization was a very public thing because everyone got to see it on television. I think he just wants to prove, hey, I'm a good football player. Regardless of, you know, me leaving the Dolphins, I can be a solid corner in the National Football League. And, you know, guys like that you're always nervous about because he plays with a chip on his shoulder. He plays like the world's against him. So he's going to come in this game excited and on fire to make a point that he is a top player in the National Football League.
It's going to be a thing on Sunday for Vontae Davis. And this isn't a knock at Vontae. He's a talker. He's a personality guy. He's an emotional guy. You saw that on Hard Knocks. If you don't know him personally, there's going to be a little extra something for Vontae Davis. And who knows, maybe if there's a little extra aggressiveness, you throw an extra double move at him. You know, you do an up and go, whatever it is. But he's going to be very fired up. And I love Vontae personally.
Oh, good people.
Great. Great guy.
Good people.
And one of the sweetest, nicest people you could ever come across. And, yeah, you definitely get the feeling he's going to be revved up for this game on Sunday.
Y'all want to cut me? Y'all, watch this. I'm going to put my hands on you. Y'all want to cut me? I'm going to sit you down. It's dead. Come on, man. Come on. All day long. Me and you. All day long.
Ouch. Ouch. My ears hurt now, Tawan.
It was in me. I'm sorry. I had to let it go.
Texter from Southwest Florida said, hey, guys, why is the Atlanta game a 4:05 kickoff with the advantage of the heat at the 1 p.m. kickoff? Because the fans, the season ticket holders in particular, had asked for less 1 o'clock games early on in the season. And so the Dolphins made that request to the league, and this is a 4:05 kickoff. You know, it's funny. We get this question a lot from people who aren't from South Florida. And this guy, he's got a Fort Myers area code, so he probably gets it. Okay. I you need to realize it is still hot as hell at 4 o'clock.
Still humid as can be, too.
Exactly. Like it's now, is it as much direct sun as 1 p.m.? No. But is it still an advantage for a team that's not used to it? Yeah. It is plenty hot at 4 p.m. at Sun Life Stadium in a September afternoon.
The devil's not sitting in the middle of the field, but he is on the sideline.
There you go. I like that. He's on the field. He's not even on the sideline. He may not be at the 50, but he's chilling somewhere. Not chilling. He's heating somewhere. I mean, it is still plenty hot out there. There will be an advantage, and the Dolphins will be in white, and the Falcons will be in black helmets, and so you better believe that it will still be hot. Yeah. The Falcon players will still have their hands on their hips. They'll still be, you know, panting, trying to catch their breath. You don't have to worry about any of that at all. All right, fun start to the second hour of the show. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to check in with our old buddy Derek Rogers, the former Dolphin linebacker who also served 4 years in the United States Air Force. We'll talk to him about his memories playing for the Miami Dolphins that first game back after September 11th, the kind of famous game. Jay Fiedler runs in the game-winning touchdown against the Oakland Raiders, was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You got Zach Thomas holding the flag before the game. That famous shot now everybody remembers. A very special and emotional day in Miami Dolphin history. So we'll talk to Derek Rogers about that when we come back. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins. You're listening live on Dolphins.com.
It's the Finsiders with your host, Jesse Agler.
Welcome back to the show with former Dolphins Tuan Russell and Keith Sims. Obviously, it's a football show, and we talk almost exclusively football and almost exclusively sports. But on September 11th, you take a moment to discuss some other things or at least pull them all together towards sports. And that's what happened in the wake of those attacks. You know, a week, 2 weeks later, we sort of started to, as a country, get back towards normalcy. I won't say we got back to normal, but we got back towards normalcy. And there's just zero doubt that sports played a big, big role in that. And everybody seems to remember that Dolphins-Raiders game, the first game back after the September 11th attacks. It was a very emotional day at the stadium. It was a big win for the Dolphins. Jay Fiedler diving for the end zone ends up on the cover of Sports Illustrated with that game-winning touchdown. And we're going to visit now with a buddy of ours who was a starting linebacker that day for the Miami Dolphins. Derek Rogers joins us on the Metro PCS hotline. Derek not only played for the Dolphins in that game, but also served 4 years in the United States Air Force. Derek, good to talk to you as always. What do you remember most from that day? I imagine the emotions were way higher than before a normal game, I guess.
Hey, first of all, hey guys, what's going on?
Hey, Derek.
D. Raj.
Juan and Keith, what's going on?
Nothing not much.
You don't have any more kids, are you, Derek?
Stop it.
No, no.
Stop
no,
it.
No, no.
Are you?
Derek outnumbered me. So.
Are we still doing what? am I dating myself with that?
Yes, you are. I was going to let it go. They threw you right under the bus.
Hey, you know what, man? It was weird. Really weird. One of those, when you talk about 9/11, it's one of those days where you can put up there in history, 9 out of 10 people can tell you exactly what they were doing on that day. They won't forget it. You know, it's up there with the landing on the moon and assassination of Kennedy and King. I remember the first plane hit, and I was sleeping. And my wife came in, and she told me what was going on, and you know, I really didn't wake up immediately when she said it, and I ended up dozing off again. And then she came in again and said that another plane had hit. By this time, I'm thinking deja vu, but, you know, I'm thinking I need to sit up and see what the heck is going on. Very, very, very weird feeling. You know, it's something that you never thought that you'd ever hear happen on American soil. I mean, I grew up with the idea that we were the police of the world, and, you know, like most people, you think that type of action is not capable of happening on our soil. But I'm sure a lot of people at that moment started to question what was going on in the world. You know, you start to come face to face with your own mortality. There's a lot of things going on in your head trying to figure out what in the world is happening.
Derek.
So you know, when that happens, the next question in your mind is, if this is possible, what else is going to happen? You know, now what? What are we going to do? And I remember we were getting ready for the game, and I don't know how many people were really feeling football-ish. You know what I mean? It's kind of hard to get your feet back on the ground and start thinking about, you know, playing a game. And I've heard a lot of people say that they didn't know if it was right for us to do it. They weren't sure about it. And honestly, it was something like that. When that happens, you really don't know what to do. It's one of those things where this has never happened to me before. So how do I react? What's the proper reaction to this? What do we do? And everybody was searching, like Jesse said, for just something they could hold on to that was real again. And I think we served that purpose. When we played the football game, we got back to playing, and it was part of the process of us getting back to what we knew, what we did on a regular basis. One of one of the memories that I remember the most was the standing on the sideline, and before the game, for those of you who are not sure, yes, I am a linebacker, or I was a linebacker. Playing linebacker is a little bit different than playing other positions, say wide receiver, not calling anybody out, but there's a little bit of time before the game where I used to kind of stare and build up my rage. You know, that's part of it. You have to get angry in order to run into somebody else and knock them around and do that for a whole game. So I used to, you know, sit up there and I'd feel, you know, feel my body, my hair on my arm start to raise, and I feel, you know, that anger mounting up inside of me, and I just couldn't wait to get on the football field. But on that day, I just remember just staring, just looking out, and just very different, you know, not like anything that I'd ever felt before. So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people were having those mixed emotions about what was going on. But, man, it's like I said, it's something that I'll never forget as long as I live.
Derek, Keith and I were just talking right before we came on how we remember, you're right, we remember exactly where we were. And we were just kind of talking how it was surreal. For you to be able to, for you who have served this country and to understand what it means to, you know, for a firefighter or a police officer to go in and, you know, protect and to serve, how did you feel on that day while you're playing? Were you playing for a bigger cause that day? Was it, you know, a bigger reason that day? Was that a motivation for that day?
I gotta be honest and say, you know, just like I just told you before, it never been there before. I mean, I don't, the emotions that were inside of me were very new to me. Hmm. It's a unsteadiness that, you know, you're unsure about, you know, what's really going on. And you're really grabbing around, grasping for something that you can hold on to so that, you know, you're not going to lose your mind thinking that, you know, the world's coming to an end because of what happened. The fact that I've been in the military, it didn't affect me that way. I mean, that was probably one of the furthest things from my mind at that point. I think the nearest feeling or emotion that I could kind of say that I was feeling was a little anxious. It's just so different. This has never occurred to us in our lifetime. We had never experienced anything like this before. How could somebody, who would do this, who had the gall, if you will, to come on our soil and to do something like this? And again, like I said, the next feeling is, man, what else is possible? You know, you know, you start to question it, trying to figure out things, and that's where I was. I might have just been out there just running around, just performing, but at the same time, just like everybody else in the world, I was trying to get back to what I knew.
It was a big day at the stadium and a win for the Miami Dolphins. But as we kind of said at the beginning, it felt like something a little bit more than a football game. It felt like a return towards normalcy. Derek Rogers, the former Dolphin linebacker, 4 years in the United States Air Force, and a good friend of the show with us on the Metro PCS Hotline. Derek, appreciate the time today and your memories. And we'll see you at Sun Life Stadium soon, I hope.
Yeah. Hey, Jesse, before you let me off, man, Can you ask Twan? I mean, I'm not going anywhere until I hear Twan's impersonation of Vontae Davis again.
Oh, no, my ears.
Let me take my headphones off before he does that.
He's got to do that at least one more time.
By the way, the funny thing is that's actually his impersonation of Sam Madison. It just sounds exactly the same.
It's about the same. Now,
quick, say goodbye to Derek with the...
All right, Derek. Hey, man, I'm going to see you next week, all right? We're going to do this thing, man. We're going to shut that guy down.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about.
Nothing like that to get you fired up on the football field. Thanks, D-Rodge. Appreciate it.
All right, y'all. Take care.
Good talking to you, Derek.
You too. Derek Rogers on the Metro PCS Hotline. For unlimited access to all interviews on the Metro PCS Hotline, visit thefinsiders.com. Derek is a great guy. It was interesting what he said about, you know, being a linebacker, and you get yourself in that mentality of, you know, hit hard, and you get yourself all fired up and angry, and sort of, you know, having to balance that with the reality of the world in that moment. Very, very interesting stuff, and appreciate, again, Derek Rogers' time and insight on the matter. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get to some of your questions. You can call us at 1-855-GO-FINS. You can text us at 347-347. We'll check in with Tristan as well, do a little chat's choice, let those guys decide what we're going to talk about next. Finance your next big purchase with a Popular Community Bank home equity line of credit. Popular Community Bank offers flexible terms and low rates. Call 888-317-9062. Take a break, come back, your questions and the chat's choice. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 WINS and Dolphins.com.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Back with former Dolphins Keith Sims and Twan Russell. Thanks to Derek Rogers for joining us last segment. Take your text message questions at 347-347. Your phone calls at 1-855-GO-FIN. Somebody texted in, I think we need at least 24 points to beat the Colts. Man, I'm fired up. Sunday, where are you? He's ready to go. Miami texter. 24 sounds about right to me, but every time, you know, you go out and you say something like that, you win the game 10-6. But no, that does sound right to me. And I don't think that's just against Indianapolis. I think that's generally in the NFL. Yeah. You got to be a 20s team. You got to be able to score in the 20s consistently. And look, there'll be those weird random games where it doesn't happen, but just go to NFL.com/scores and look at the scores every week. You pretty much in almost every game every week have to be in the 20s. Now, again, there are the exceptions, and it sometimes goes the other way. But there's no doubt that more often than not, you're going to have to be in the 20s to win in today's National Football League. And it's not just this week against the Colts. I look ahead next week against Atlanta, probably going to say the same thing. Week after that, the Saints, probably going to say the same thing. Week after that, Baltimore may very well say the same thing. New England, going to say the same thing. You get the picture here. And that's about the era as much as anything else.
The rules of the National Football League has made it where teams have to score points. I mean, it's an offensive league. The rules are skewed towards offensive players. And that's why you have to be able to score at least 3 to 4 touchdowns. If you can't score 3 touchdowns in the National Football League and kick a field goal, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, you're going to find yourself in some challenging situations. The days of, you know, the 7-10s and the 17-10 days, those days are further away. It's because we're getting away from running the football. And as long as passing is prevailing, you're going to have more touchdowns, you're going to have more scoring. And if you can't throw the ball and score touchdowns, you won't win in the National Football League.
Definitely. You know, one touchdown's not enough. You said you're going to have to get 21. This is, to me, this game's going to come down to a race to maybe who has more than 25 points. You got two defenses. Obviously, the Dolphin defense, I think, is better on paper, man-to-man, but I think their offense on the Colts side, they're a little more seasoned and been together a little bit longer. So it's going to be a shootout, and it's not going to be a 6-3. I don't know any way or shape or form this game will be 7-6 at halftime like last week's game. So it's about scoring touchdowns when you get in that red zone, taking advantage of it, and letting this defense, you see what it can do when you let it pin its ears back and come after the quarterback. So that's going to be a difference maker.
When you look at the strength of the Colts, I mean, their strength is throwing the football, their wide receivers. They have great wide receivers that can run great routes. And I know they may say Reggie Rain is not the same guy, but that guy is probably still one of the more savvier guys in the National Football League that comes in and out of his routes. He always catches the ball, and they can sling the ball. Well, our strengths are rushing the passer, and we have – I mean, if all of our defensive backs are healthy, we have strong defensive backs. So I think we line up well with them. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be a game of chess, and whoever moves wrong is going to be the guy that scores first and constantly scores. And I think it's going to be a chess match from our defensive line and our secondary against their passing attack.
By the way, even if it is 7-6 at halftime, it's not going to be 7-6 at the end of the game. You know, if they get off to a slow start, I still think you probably want to have to end up in the 20s. My quick look at week one, don't hold me to this, but it looks like in 12 of the games out of 16 last week, you would have had to score 20 in the 20s to win. At least. Some of them in the 30s, some of them in the 40s. But 12 of the 16 games, you would at least have to score in the 20s in order to come up with a victory. That is today's NFL. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Little chat's choice action. They're voting in the live chat what they want us to talk about next. Here are the options, guys. New wrinkles in the Finns' pass rush. The Colts' receiving weapons. A quarterback with more to prove. Luck or Tannehill? Twan's best impersonations, Mike Wallace versus the Colts defensive backs, and a little Bills, E.J. Manuel making his debut against the New England Patriots. 38% want to talk about Mike Wallace versus the Colts defensive backs. You look at this Indianapolis team, and again, there's a guy there that we know very, very well in Vontae Davis. I think he plays mostly one side of the field there. It's not necessarily
they go left and, they go left and right. I mean, a lot of times in a 3-4 defense, you go left and right, you know, because it's a linebacker-driven defense. You mix it up. And the challenge is that the challenges that the Colts are going to present to our offensive line is that they can come from any direction. Similar to what Cleveland did to us this past week, you don't know where the blitz is coming from. I mean, it could even be coming from the safety or the corner, and they're gonna do some funky things. But my guess is that they're just gonna go left and right, and wherever they line up, or they may say wherever Wallace is, we're gonna double him and single the other guy. So you know they have the flexibility to move around. If I'm them, I'd say I'm gonna take Wallace. I'm gonna take away the deep threat, and if I feel like I got a guy that can run with Hartline, if I got a guy that can run with Gibson, then I'm going to do that and let my linebackers cover up the tight ends. If I'm them, that's how I go after it, because you have to take away one of you. If you say, okay, we're just going to play across the board, well, I don't know if there's very many guys in the National Football League that can run with Wallace. And he's coming into this game. He's going to be hungry. He's going to be ready. And he wants to show the world that he deserves the contract that he has here. And that's the frustration that I think he's bringing to the game, that he wants to make sure that he's one of the highly touted wide receivers in the National Football League.
Tuan, I don't know if I could have said it any better. But then again, I think I can.
You probably could have.
But when you look at that, I agree with you. Mike Wallace is going to be very motivated coming into this game. And I think it'll be interesting how the Dolphins get him the ball. And I think, to me, the key is going to be off of play action. It goes back to if the Dolphins can run the football, Because teams are going to want to take Mike Wallace away. They're going to want to put that safety over the top. But if the Dolphins can have some success running the football early, and I'm not talking about getting a yard on first down, I'm talking about getting 3, 4, 5 yards, that safety, who they got two veteran safeties, has got to cheat up. And that may open up opportunities, particularly on the early downs. We know when it's third down and long, any smart defense coordinator is going to be leaning toward Wallace on that side of the field and force you to beat us or that team with Hartline.
And I like that matchup.
It's great.
It's fun. And I like that matchup.
That's why opening up the by the running game coming to life on early downs, they maybe will do a play action and sneak him deep one-on-one or behind the safety. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And that goes right in with the Dolphins' fact that they want to resurrect the running game as well.
But if you notice, we went back to the old Dan Marino run mentality. What are we going to do? We're going to throw outs. We're going to throw slants. We're going to throw five-yard plays, these short routes, and let our wide receivers run the ball for us. Now, the only challenge with that is they drop the ball, the clock stops, and it puts you in a tough situation. But, you know, they found a way to move the ball in those short, you know, methodical ways just by throwing the ball. And I think if we do find ourselves in a situation where we can't throw the ball, they did have a plan to be able to move the ball against Cleveland.
Yeah. And again, as you guys said, let them do what they're going to do with Wallace. Mike's going to win those matchups enough times. You know, and last week it didn't happen. That's all well and good. It was one game the first week of the season. They're going to do whatever they do on Wallace, and it's only going to open things up for those other guys. And Ryan Tannehill, you know, is going to go through his progression, and he's going to find, whether it's Wallace or not, he's going to be able to find, hopefully, you know, some winning opportunities. I like Brian Hartline getting the kind of coverage that he got last week. I like Brandon Gibson working in the slot. I would like to see the tight ends get more involved. I'd like to see the running backs get more involved. Obviously, you want to see Wallace do more. But over the course of the season, Wallace is going to win enough of these matchups, I think, and we're going to be pretty happy with what we got out of Mike Wallace. And as we keep saying, he's doing so much to open everything else up.
Speaking of tight ends, I mean, you're right. I would love to see more out of tight end position, but I love the fact that I finally saw Clay run around making catches and doing the things that
we had a touchdown against the Colts last year.
Yeah, doing the things that we know he can do. Now, is it me, or did they kind of do tight end by committee throughout the game?
No, they had everyone
got
in there.
A lot more snaps.
Clay played a lot.
Played a ton
of snaps. Five catches against Cleveland, right around there, 5 catches for 52 yards or so.
He played a lot of snaps.
It seemed like they were just kind of
– No, they said that. Like they said they might have to reduce his workload a little bit. He was at – I forget the number, but he was at a lot of snaps. I think Agnew was 21, Sims 15, and Clay was, in the 40s, 50s, I think.
Wow. How many plays? I mean, that means
68
that's
68 offensive plays, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, he played a good chunk. He played a very good chunk.
We had 68 in four quarters, and the Eagles had 53 in the first half.
Yeah, and then 29 in the second half. How about the fact that, you know, 53 in the first half, they still came up a dozen shy of what the Patriots ran in week one. That's how many plays the Patriots are running. Everybody loves play count now. That's like the new obsession with all these no-huddle offenses that everybody's counting plays in ways that we've never done before. 347-347 if you want to text in. That was the Chat's Choice conversation. So let's have a little more fun with the guys in the live chat. Tristan Jones in the Metro PCS Comment Center.
These guys are always fun, Jesse, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so enthusiastic about that answer.
Fun.
What's fun is Metro PCS. You can get ultra-fast, unlimited 4G LTE at an unbeatable price. That's all the speed you need without the annual contract. We have it, Metro PCS. Kind of on the subject of Mike Wallace, PTA says, who on the Fins offense needs to have a better game this Sunday, Mike Wallace or Lamar Miller?
Needs to. Let me tell you something. Neither one of them had a good game the other day, and they won by 13 points on the road. So start with that. Need is an interesting word. Now, obviously, you're facing a better opponent this week than you did last week. There's no question about that. But you had one catch for 15 yards and whatever the rushing numbers, and they were ugly work for Lamar. But if you had to pick one, I guess, just to sort of have fun with this guy's question, I'm going with the wide receiver. Again, we're talking about the passing NFL. We're talking about the amount of points you have. And I love Lamar, and I appreciate a running game. But if you ask me, which one of those guys, if it had to be one, and look, ideally they both have good games, obviously. I'm going with the guy that's going to be more involved in the passing game.
Jesse, you are absolutely wrong on that. It's got to be Lamar Miller.
Is he on your fantasy team? Be honest right now.
I actually tried to draft him. I couldn't get him. Because I have big expectations for Lamar Miller this year.
I think most of us do.
So I just think with him, when you run the football for 21 times for 20 yards, hey, you're starting back a guy that's got all the talent in the world. He's got more pressure on him. Mike Wallace, sometimes he's going to be a decoy, and sometimes defenses are just going to set their game plan to absolutely take him away. It's hard to take away an entire running game, and that offensive line in that room behind us has too much pride to have back-to-back bad performances. So I think Lamar Miller needs to have a better performance this week.
I'm breaking the rule. I mean, I say neither. I think it's Incognito, Pouncey, Jerry, Claybo. I mean, for me and Martin, those are the guys that sets the tone of that offense. If they are able to block and open the holes, not only do not only do Lamar Miller have a better game, but all of a sudden now you have play action pass that's actually working, then all of a sudden Wallace is going to be open. So I think the problem is neither one of those guys. The problem is the offensive line.
All right, there you go. How about that, Keith? He said the problem is the offensive line. Ooh. All right, I see somebody bringing it up.
For one
in
week,
the,
we'll have to accept that.
In the
He's
live
steaming.
Chat. Tony B in the live chat is bringing it up. Jim Irsay, the Colts owner, had some interesting things to say today on Twitter, which you could say any day because Jim Irsay always seems to have interesting things to say on Twitter. But today those things had to do with this game against the Miami Dolphins. We will discuss that when we return. Remember, too, to sign up for the Fin Club and check back every Wednesday to find out what you could win from Win It Wednesdays. Today's Win It Wednesday prize, the opportunity to run out on the field with the team at the home opener against the Atlanta Falcons. It's all free. Register at finclub.miamidolphins.com. That's the big Win It Wednesday on this Wednesday. Take a break, come back. We'll talk about Jim Irsay's comments. Also put a wraps on this Wednesday edition of the show, this Win It Wednesday edition of the show. You're listening to the Finsiders on 940 Wins, and you're watching. Nope, you're just listening. Sorry. It had to happen eventually. Very sorry.
He's human, folks.
You're listening on dolphins.com.
Now, back to the Finsiders, your all-access pass to the 2013 Dolphins.
Final segment on this Wednesday. Keith Sims and Tuan Russell are here. I had to look. You know it's a long day when.
That's because Tuan has been here recently.
No, maybe that's part of it. Usually just kind of rolls right off my tongue. Just, I know who's here.
He just nudged me and said, what's your name again?
Who are you? But no, I actually had to look up and figure it out. It changes every day. And like I said, usually I got a pretty good sense of who's here. Those longer days, yeah. This whole schedule, no Tuesdays off. It's got me all messed up.
You're
players
good.
Seem fine. But
you are good. You're really good
that's
with
That's very nice.
I mean, you are.
That's
you,
very, I
mean,
appreciate that.
You're really good.
And you are.
I'm George Jefferson. Yeah. Moving on up.
We mentioned Jim Irsay, the trying to think of the right adjective. Appropriate but still correct adjective. Enigmatic owner of the Indianapolis Colts is interesting on Twitter. You got to follow him if you're an NFL fan at Jim Irsay. But a couple things today caught my attention on his Twitter feed earlier today. Talking about their last game against Oakland the other day, he says, we got to protect number 12 better. That's Andrew Luck. And that includes more than just O-line. It's backs, tight ends, coaches on blitz pickups, and then in caps, I demand better. This is the owner. Yeah. Man. Of the Indianapolis Colts coming out and saying what I'm sure all those people know and all those people are saying, that we got to do a better job protecting Andrew Luck. But he's calling out his backs, his tight ends, the coaches. He's saying not just the offensive line, his coaches.
Got to pick up blitzes.
Yeah, exactly. He wants Chuck Strong to run out there and chip, apparently. I mean, look.
So he writes the checks.
Yeah,
and he's smart enough to know that as long as he protects his quarterback, he's going to probably be in every game. And I think it was wise for him to step up there and say that. I mean, maybe Twitter's not the format that I would have done it. I would have walked in my own facility and be like, hey, guys.
Well, that's a totally different thing.
Know. So the message is correct. The delivery, inappropriate.
Well, it depends. I mean, you pay $1 billion for a team, you can do what you want. I mean, the guy that make that money, you know, by accident, and I think he knows how to motivate people. And if he feels that's the most appropriate way to do it, that's his business. It's his money. He's playing with his toy. And, you know,
the business. It's not a toy.
Well, I can disagree or agree with that.
Okay. Guess but, if you own it, it could be a toy.
Absolutely. But I think what he's trying to say, hey, guys, you know what? We need to protect our quarterback. And the ball goes to he's going to go through his hands 50, 60 times a game. And if we can't protect him, we can't win. I think that's at the end of the day, that's what he was trying to get at. I think in the younger players understanding how Twitter works. Younger guys may get it more than older guys. Coaches may be like, what? Why did he say it like that? But the young guys, the players,
it's
think
not going to phase them, you're saying. Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. All right, here's his other one that caught my attention. Dolphins, Colts, make no mistake about it. The Fish can and will bring the heat. We got to man up and confront heat with NASA-like heat shield. First of all, Jim, as you know, it's not a fish, it's a mammal. But outside of that, NASA-like heat shield. He seems, I imagine, this is a compliment in some way, shape, or form to the Dolphins' ability to get to the quarterback, which they did a ton against the Browns the other day. And he knows about the ferocity of this Dolphins front seven, but kind of putting it out there for everybody to know that he expects the Dolphins to bring the heat and come at Andrew Luck and the rest of the Colts offense this day. All right, we've got our official injury report from the Dolphins. They practiced late today, so it's just now popping up in the old inbox. Pat Devlin and Jamar Taylor, the only players not to practice. Will Davis, Rashad Jones, and Dimitri Patterson were limited. Davis with a toe, Rashad with a thumb, and Dimitri with the groin. Other players listed on the injury report who participated fully today, Danelle Ellerby with a pec, Jonathan Freeney with a shoulder, Brandon Gibson with a wrist, Deion Jordan with a shoulder, and Deion Sims with a groin. You know, the guys that participate fully, you don't usually worry about them when it comes to Sunday. But obviously, keep an eye on that. Devlin and Taylor, I mean, here we are. We're a couple days into this practice week already. I wouldn't expect to see them on Sunday, although that can obviously change. Will Davis, Rashad Jones, Dimitri Patterson, feel pretty good about that. But we'll see on Friday what the injury report says in respects to guys being doubtful, questionable, probable, the way that they break it down like that. So that's a look at the injury report today. Let's get to one or more, maybe two, fan questions with Tristan over in the Metro PCS Comment Center.
It's always risky. Risky coming over here this day in the
warning.
Show.
That's a warning.
No. Okay, so Woody says, Finsiders, have you given out some love to Don Jones for his special teams play? He was there on several tackles. And Jesse, I watched the game with you. I heard you say his name a few times.
Yeah, no, I definitely was giving love to him during the game. I think in the post-game show we talked about it a little bit. We might have on Monday or Tuesday. It's all a blur at this point.
No doubt.
Don Jones, the seventh-round pick, who was one of those guys I think a lot of fans and media were like, well, why did they keep him? Why not practice squad? I think you saw the answer to that the other day against the Cleveland Browns. He was one of the guys that was around the ball every time on punt coverage, on kick coverage he was running down there. Jelani Jenkins is another one, the rookie linebacker from Florida. He seemed to be around the ball on all those coverage units. Antoine, we talk about it endlessly during training camp and the preseason. You can make this team if you can do special stuff on special teams. And that seems to be the case with this guy.
People say, why do you keep five safeties? Well, that's why. I mean, Don Jones is a guy that can run around, that can play football. And you know what? I love it when I see a young guy who understands how serious it is to play special teams. For me, I made my career on it. I mean, I played 7 years in the National Football League, and 70% of what I did was in special teams. And that's how I made the team. That's how I stayed on the team. That's how I fed my family. I think he gets it, and we need more guys like that that's willing to run down the field and make plays. Like Deion Jordan, I mean, I love the fact that he was running around, that he didn't think it was, it's beneath him. He was making plays on special teams, and that's just going to make us a better football team.
Absolutely. Agree with all that. And time for our final thoughts.
The fastest 2 minutes in the show.
Keep soon.
Well, on this day, I just want to reach out and thank all the members of our armed forces who put their lives on the line to protect and our lives and our freedom on this September 11th. It's been on my mind since I woke up this morning, so I'm sure it's been on all Americans' mind, and God bless America, and just keep us safe and be safe out there.
Well, Keith, I guess you've said it all for me. I just want to let people know we have an event this Sunday for my foundation over at the Improv. You can check us out on our website, www.russellreadingroom.com. It's a watch party, and we have a comedy show right after. Love to have you come out and support. 100% of the money goes to support the kids. We are growing. We have 10 centers, over 60 teachers. We just need money to keep paying the bills. So you come out, help us. Thank you.
Awesome. Russellreadingroom.com. Very nice what Keith said about September 11th. Certainly, echo all of that. Tomorrow, T.Y. Hilton will join us. Also, Colts broadcaster Bob Leamy. We'll do it at 5 o'clock right here on 940 Wins and Dolphins.com.